Let me ask you a question today as we get started. How many of you have ever prayed for direction? Yeah. How many of you have prayed for God to kind of help, lead, guide, direct you in a certain way? You had a big decision to make, and you just wanted God to somehow maybe speak to you or whatever. You don't even know what that looked like, but you just didn't want to mess up. Anybody with me on that? You just didn't want to mess up. It was just too big. And God wants to do something better than for you to just ask Him for direction. Something more than that. God has something more for you. Turn to your person next to you and just pick your favorite and just say, God's got more for you. God's got more for you. All right. Sorry about the other person. All right. So, John chapter 16 is where we're going to study today. All right. John chapter 16, verse 12. Here's what Jesus said to his followers. He says, I have much more to say to you. More than you can now bear. I just want to say to somebody as we get started, God has more for you than what you've experienced up to this point. Now, here's how I know that. Because He made the universe and it's still expanding. God's just so big, so great. His ways are above our ways, His thoughts above our thoughts. And so God has more than what you've experienced. Can you get a hold of that today? He's got more. But when He, and notice who He's talking about, the Spirit of Truth, it's talking about the Holy Spirit, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. And here's what He's going to do. He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That's why I said, the Spirit will receive from Me what He will make known to you. Before GPS, before there was a Maps app on your phone, back in the day, here is what we used to do when we needed directions. We would have to ask somebody, okay? Does anybody remember that? You would actually have to stop, sometimes roll down your window. Anybody remember this? And I mean literally roll it down, too. Okay? Not just hit a button. But roll it down and say, hey, excuse me, I'm looking for such street or whatever. Anybody remember this? And so you'd have to talk to people to try to figure it out. But I love what we can do today because I was all the way over in Europe last year on a missions trip with a bunch of preachers and different pastors, leaders and all. And we were in Prague, and so we were going to meet, and we were going to do this boat ride, which sounded fun, on the river, and then have dinner afterwards. And so the leader of the group, he is texting this out, and he says, here's what I'm going to do. The next text, I'll drop a pin, and that's where you'll come to get on the boat for the trip, the boat trip. And so sure enough, this pen comes, and so I clicked on it, and it's the map of Prague, and then all I needed to do was say directions for that, and that I'm walking, and it mapped out a walking path for me and told me how long it would take me to walk to where that was. Amen. right? I liked it. And it worked, okay? Now, how many of us, we'd like God to drop a pen? Huh? We'd like God to drop a pen. Hey, God, what university should I attend? God, which house should I buy? God, which job offer should I take? God, if you could just drop a pen for me, right? What if God would do that? Because how many know there's some big questions in life, right? I mean, more than just what you were going to wear today. Like there's marriage questions, there's job questions, there's career questions, there's all kinds of, and they have some weight. And so wouldn't it be great if God would just drop a pen? But here's the thing. What I've discovered is God's not interested in just providing guidance to your life. What God wants to be is your guide. You see the difference? God wants to be your guide, because just like we studied last week, He wants a relationship with you. As a matter of fact, if you don't get anything else out of this today, understand that I don't care who you are in this building, God wants a personal relationship with you. With you, if you're watching online. He wants one with you, wherever you are. He's not just about the crowd. He wants to have an individual relationship with each and every one of us. And so what He wants to do, everything God does is relationship-based. And the reason is God wants to speak to you. God wants you to hear His voice. Jesus talked a lot about that, about hearing His voice. And what He wants to do for some of you, He wants to reveal His kindness to you. Because maybe you grew up thinking God was just so ticked off most of the time. Anybody grew up with that kind of God? Or He's just like an old man, just... And some of you, you need God to speak to you and reveal to you the kindness of God. The Bible talks about, Lord, Your loving kindness is better than life. So my lips are going to praise You. I'm going to bless You. I'm going to lift up my hands in Your name because You're just so kind. You're so loving. For others of you, maybe you need to know the Lord's forgiveness. Because you still haven't forgiven yourself for something. And so what you need to know is the grace and the mercy of God, that no matter what you've done, you can be forgiven. You can be forgiven and washed clean. And He wants a relationship with you. But here's the problem. Many of us want God to point the way, but then get out of the way. You know, God, if You just drop a pen, I got it from here. Just God, if You just tell me this, just point toward the direction, and I got it from here. You don't even have to be involved. And God wants to do more than just provide guidance. He wants to be our guide. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but we've been there several times to Disney World. And at Disney World, here's what you will find if you walk into one of their parks, is you will find a big stand, and on that stand there will be guide maps in about any language you could want. And each of those guide maps are for that park, and what you do is you get this guide, and you open it up, and there's a map there of this park, this big, huge park that you're in. And if you want to get to Frontierland, then you know, okay, I got to go this way. And if you want to go to Tomorrowland, then I've got to go this way. And then over here, there's all these things that show the attractions and, oh, I'm getting hungry. Where could I get something to eat? And oh, and you got, but here's the thing is you got to read it, right? You got to figure it out on your own how to get there and get to where you're trying to go. But check it out. Disney has something better than a guide map. They have, for a fee, a guide, an actual person who will accompany you and your party and guide you personally through the experience. And we got to witness this one time. We were in a line for an attraction. It was a long line, and there was this like wall thing there. But it wasn't really a whole wall, because what I didn't know is there was actually kind of a door to it. And it opened, and this cast member, as they call them, came out. And with them was this little family who walked out from behind this part that we didn't even know really was there. And while we're standing in line, the guide took them, and they didn't get in line with us. No, they went through a different way, and they went into the attraction. And before we had moved up very many people, they were already coming out of the attraction and going back through this space in the wall and on to the next attraction. And what was funny is we thought, that guy looks familiar. And then we started talking, and we realized he's on TV. That guy's he's a star or whatever. He's from Hollywood and so. That's what happens when you have a guide. You don't stand in lines. You don't do that. You get escorted personally for the experience. And I want to tell you today that Jesus said, you don't have to just have a pen or a map given to you. The Holy Spirit wants to come alongside of you, take you places you couldn't go on your own, do for you what you couldn't do for yourself, and wants to personally escort you into all God has for you. Does that sound good today? That's what God wants to do. Because the guide can take you places. The guide can help you to skip some lines. And some of you, let me just kind of get up in your space a little bit. You've stood in some long lines in life. And you've had some disappointments. And you've had some regrets. And you've had some stuff happen in your life. And let me just say, And again, I'm your friend, all right? It's because you didn't have a guide. You weren't paying attention to a guide. Because, see, here's the thing about the guide, and we'll talk more about this in a moment, but he knows tomorrow. He knows tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen next week. He knows what's going to happen next month. He knows what's going to happen next year. And so when he guides your life, he can help you to avoid some of the pain that would otherwise come into your life. And again, I'll talk more about that in a moment. But we need to listen to the guide, because otherwise, here's what will happen. Pain comes in, and we think, oh, I don't like that. But let me explain two words to you, and then we're going to get into the main text of what I want to talk to you about. I want you to understand two words, theological words. One is salvation, and one is sanctification. Okay, salvation, you don't do it. Okay? Jesus did it all. Okay, he paid for all. This is the gospel of Jesus. Gospel is good news. The good news is your sin has been paid in full by someone else other than you. His name is Jesus, and he came, and he shouldn't have died, but he did die because he died to death. He didn't have to die, but he did it for you because you're the one that was on the hook. You're the one that deserved it. You're the one that's the sinner, but he took our sin upon him so that we could be made right with God. How many are happy about that today, right? That's the gospel. So that's salvation. But then there's a part you play a big part in. Sanctification. And that's the part of not getting you to Jesus. It is the part of making you look like Jesus. Okay? Act like Jesus. And that part, we are very involved in that. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to help us with today. So let's look. I want to give you three things God will guide you into. Here's how you know, is this God or is it not God? Here's how you can know. Three things God will guide you into. First of all, he guides you into truth. Jesus said it this way in John 16:13. We read it earlier. Here's our text. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, here's what he's going to do. He will guide you into the truth. He's going to lead you into the truth, all the truth. So if it's the Holy Spirit leading you, you're going to be guided into truth. So if you're not being led into truth or closer to Jesus, it's not the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Well, what is truth? What is truth? Did you know truth is a person? Truth is a person. Jesus said it like this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So truth is Jesus. So if you want to know the truth, look to Jesus. And if you want to know Jesus, look to the Bible. Look to the Word of God. And so if what you're feeling or thinking or whatever doesn't line up with the Word of God, then it's not from the Holy Spirit. It's not from the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't matter what you feel or think or what TikTok says or what your friends say. It doesn't matter what some magazine had in it. Are you hearing me? It doesn't matter, you know, popular opinion or whatever, because here's what happens. It can just be my flesh. It can just be me feeling it. Here's what the scripture says about the Bible itself. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is live and active, and here's what it does. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Okay? So it helps you have a better attitude. Some of you need this, all right? I'm just telling you. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. And here's what it is. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness or in right living. And here's what Jesus said about it. He says, sanctify them by truth. John 17:17, your word is truth. How do we find truth? We find it through God's word. And we take what God says and we line it up with what we're feeling, and we go with what God says. Okay, so in other words, you know, we have a huge identity crisis in our culture, right? People don't know who they are. People don't know, I just don't know what I'm supposed to be about. I don't know what, who I'm supposed to be or whatever. And I just want to clear this up for you, because God has said that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You are made in the image of God. God says about you that He knew you even in your mother's womb as you were being formed, and that He has a purpose for your life. That's who you are. So it doesn't matter what anybody else says, or even what you might think, it's what He says. And sometimes what happens is God gives us, like the Word says, a corrective word. And what that looks like is, hey, your attitude stinks. Have you ever had God say something like that to you? Your attitude stinks right now, and you're stinking up your marriage. You're stinking up your friendship. You're stinking up your whole house right now. And it's you. And you're pointing the finger at everybody else. I'm telling you, go get in the mirror, and there's the problem. And God will speak those kinds of things to you and say, you know what? You're negative. You're very negative. You're listening to all this negativity out in the world, and then you're sucking it in. And then you're spewing out negativity. And you need to stop that. You need to quit being a source of negativity, because that is not who God is. And you're being selfish, you're being greedy, or whatever it is. And God speaks to you these things. And He does it to help us to be more like Him. And so what He's doing is He's working on our behalf. He's guiding us to God's Word, because God's Word will speak truth to us. Everybody got that? All right, here's the second thing, is He will guide you to what's best. Here's how Jesus said it. Let's go back to the text. He will not speak on His own, verse 13. He will speak only what He hears, and here's what He's going to do. He will tell you what is to come. God will give you discernment on what's coming into your life. You're like, I don't know about this, and I don't know if I should do it or not. And listen, you need discernment. I'm praying for more discernment. I don't know about you. If you're not, then pray for me to get more discernment. I'll take your prayers for it, because I think we all need more discernment. In a culture where it's so fuzzy, are you kidding me? We need discernment. And so discernment helps us, because then we can get things cleared up. Sometimes it comes through people that God brings that clarity, or it's direct from the Bible or whatever. I remember when Rochelle and I were dating, and we had this experience of kind of a love at first sight kind of thing, which was awesome, and all the stuff. And everything. But then we just kept dating and all, because I just thought, you need to date a while. Many of you don't, evidently. Okay, I just thought you ought to date a while and all. And then I was more for long dating, quick engagement. I know some people, date for a little bit and then they're engaged for years or whatever, but that wasn't going to be me, because I just thought, you date a while. And then when you're raised to ask a person, will you marry me, then you need to be able to do that. So that's just how I felt. But anyway, we were dating for quite some time. And then Rochelle wanted more clarity. All right? Came to a point where we need to define the relationship. And so the Lord used her to help me with maybe some commitment issues, because, I thought, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to make a mistake. You got to, marriage, that's a lifetime commitment for me and everything and all. And I'm just like, dragging my feet. And ultimately she said, hey, where's this going? More or less. And I knew, hey, I know where I want it to go. And so guess what? We got engaged real quick and after that and everything, because I knew that's what I wanted. And so, but here's the problem. The Bible didn't tell me to marry Rochelle. You know, there was no verse in there about that. And there's a lot of decisions in life that you just can't find a verse. You know what I'm saying? There's like guardrails on wisdom. And you know, you ought to marry a believer. You're a believer. You ought to marry a believer. And there's guides and things like that. But, you know, should I buy the Honda or the Toyota? Well, you know, where is that? And then, you know, some of you find a verse that says, well, the disciples were all in one accord. And so, yeah, that's a preacher joke, all right? So, but, you know, should I buy this house or should I rent this house? Should I buy that one? Should I buy this thing? Should I not? Should I go to that school? Should I go to this school? Should I date this person? Should I call him back or not? I mean, there's a lot of decisions where you don't have details. And when you don't have details, you need discernment. Because discernment will help you and give you the ability to choose not just what's best, but what's even better. What's the better thing? Because I don't know about you, but most of us have good and bad figured out. You know, that's good, that's bad. And we mostly have that. But how many know it can be hard when they both look good? When it's like, well, I just don't know, you know. Neither one looks bad. I think both job opportunities, you can make an argument. I think, you know, that I could move to that city or live in this city. I think that I could buy that car and this car, you know. And in those situations, how many know we need a guide? We need a person who's close to us. Because you've got to know, for example, and especially, hey, if you're a teenager, listen up. But even no matter how old you are, friendships are huge. Your friendships can affect your life, where you go in life. And so how do you know the good friends from the not so good friends? How do you know that? Well, look at this in John chapter 2, verse 23. It says, now while he was in Jerusalem at Passover festival, this is Jesus, many people saw the signs that he was performing. They believed in his name. There was a big crowd. But Jesus, check this out, would not entrust himself to them. And here's why. He knew those people. And he did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. Check this out. Jesus did not go full in with everybody. He said, you know, what you got to do? You got to know what's in certain people. You got to have discernment. And isn't it funny how people can claim to have discernment after you've made the decision? Anybody you have those people in your life? You know, like you make the decision and then it blows up or whatever. And then they're like, well, I felt something. Well, why didn't you say something before now, right? It's easy to have discernment after the fact. Why didn't you speak up before? But here's what happens. The Holy Spirit can give a check to us. Okay, have you ever felt that? Where you just feel something. Something's off. And parents, you need this with your kids. When your kid says, hey, I've been invited over for an overnight at this person's house, you better have discernment. And if you get a check and you think, nope, you're not going over there. And your kid's like, ah, Whatever. Listen, you are the boss of your house. I mean, just remind somebody of that today. And so no matter how much they whine or whatever and throw a fit or whatever they might want to do, listen, nobody loves them more than you do, and you've got their best interest at heart. And if you get a check in your spirit that that other kid is not the kid your kid needs to be around, you need to do something about it. You need to do something about it. And if you're in a board meeting, you know, and you're getting ready to sign on the dotted line and whatever, and it's a big deal, and you get a check, you know what you better do? You better put that pen down. You better say, you know what? I think I'm going to have 24 hours. I'm not able to sign this today. I'm sorry about it, but I'm just not able. Because, listen, God will speak to you, and He will guide you. Here's the next thing He will do. Is He will guide you to Jesus. That's what Jesus said in verse 14. Let's go back to our text. John 16:14. He will glorify me because it is from me that He will receive what He will make known to you. So Jesus says he's gonna build Jesus up in your life. So if it's not something that's gonna make you more like Jesus, it's not from the Holy Spirit, because it should lead you to be more like Jesus. Now, here's one of the big gods, I think, in our culture, is this God right here, the God of comfort. We all want comfort. I mean, Americans love me some comfort. Am I right? I want to be comfortable. You know, it's like the ultimate goal is to be comfortable. Well, here's the problem with that. Anything that looks like discomfort must not be from God. God wouldn't want me to be uncomfortable. God would want me to be comfortable, I'm sure. Really? Like, have you read the Bible? Like, people in the Bible, like Paul in his life. I mean, if you did that, we wouldn't have a New Testament. God sometimes calls us into things. Here's how the Bible puts it in one place. It says, where iron sharpens iron. And let me tell you, when iron sharpening iron, sparks are flying. And it's not comfortable. But God, even though He doesn't send some of that stuff, He'll use it for His glory and to help you to become more like Jesus. Because I'll just tell you, friend, I know this about you. You've got some spots in your life that don't look like Jesus. Yeah, I didn't expect a bunch of shouting there, all right? So you didn't disappoint me. Don't worry about it. But here's how I know. There are spots in my life that don't look enough like Jesus. And what happens is God, through the Holy Spirit, wants to help us look more like Jesus, act more like Jesus, to be more kind, to be more joy-filled. God may be speaking to some people and say, you need to look like you've got the joy of the Lord in your life. You know, you look like you've been weaned on pickle juice. Who's going to want that? You know, oh, I'm a Christian. I'd like to invite you to my church. And they're like, no thanks. And God says, hey, you need to get joy in your life. You need to be full of joy. You need to be loving. Listen, you need to be self-controlled. If the Holy Spirit's working in your life, let me tell you something. You'll have self-control. You'll quit saying, well, I just couldn't help myself. You'll quit saying, well, I don't know how that happened. No, you do know how that happened. You did it. And when you have the Spirit in control, you don't do it. So what did we do with this? Here's what we do. Let me wrap this up. You got to position yourself close to the guide. And let me just illustrate it. I was over in Europe last year, and we went to Auschwitz, which is quite an experience, okay? And so when you get to Auschwitz, we had our group, and we had a guide assigned to us. And I think we've got a picture of her that they can pull up for me. And yeah, there she's, our guide. And so she would point to things on the wall, and she would walk us through the barracks that were there. She would walk us through all the ghastly things that were there in Auschwitz, and she would use this transmitter. You can see it in her left hand. It's a little transmitter that she had. She had a microphone. And she would speak with this transmitter. And what we were instructed to do, pull the next picture up for me, is to wear these headsets. And you can see, like, there were groups of people, and there were, I don't even know how many groups, because the place was huge, just massive. And all these groups, in our group, we had these headsets on. We had to keep them on because she's talking into this transmitter as she's guiding us through the experience. And we were tuned in to her frequency. So there's all these other groups going around. We didn't hear what they had to say, but we could hear our group. And they said, but you got to stay close. And I realized that one time because we were going down this hallway and this whole thing's just made of cement and block and everything. And so I got toward the back of the group. I was looking at something, and then I was trying to keep up with the group. So I was at the back, and she had turned a corner, and all of a sudden my signal and her voice started breaking up. And I thought, uh-oh. And so I kind of pushed and I got around the corner and I made sure I stayed closer to her, because when I was closer, I could hear her voice clearly. And here's what I want to say to some of you today. The reason why you're not hearing God like you'd like to is you're not close enough. You're just not close enough. Because I assure you, God is talking. God is interested to guide you to His best. He knows what's best. He knows what is coming down the road. He knows what decisions you ought to make. He wants to help you to be more like Jesus. And listen, James chapter 4, verse 8 says, if you'll get close to God, God will get close to you. And the problem in reverse is maybe this. Some of you, you're close to the world, and so you hear the world, and you hear the negativity, the divisiveness, the hatred, and all that. Then you wonder why you're so uptight. You wonder why am I stressed out? Why do people act like I'm stressed out? Well, listen, I'll tell you why. Because you're close to the one whose voice is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, if you'll get close to me, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And so today, here's what I want to invite you to do. To get close to God. To get closer to the Holy Spirit's voice. Does that sound good? Let's pray. Father, help us today to put this into practice in our lives. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Craig, I've got some decisions. I've got some stuff going on. Maybe it's physical stuff. Maybe it's financial stuff. Maybe it's family stuff. Maybe it's future stuff, decisions to make. And you're here today and you'd say, I really want to hear God. I really want to hear God. So I want to get closer to God today. and hear His voice. If that's you, will you just honestly lift a hand and just say, yeah, there's some things where I'd really like to hear God on it. Yeah, all of us. Father, today, just help us to get closer to You. Because I know You're speaking. I know that You're wanting to speak to us. But Lord, some of us, maybe we're not close enough to hear it. So help us to get closer today. Because I know You want to guide us. And You want to help us in every way. While we're still praying, there may be others of you who you don't hear God because maybe you don't really know God. And maybe you've never known God. Maybe you've just known religion or whatever that looks like in your life. But today, if you were to be brutally honest with your life, you would say, I don't know God and I don't hear God. I don't hear His voice. But if there is a God and if He's real and He is real to me, I want to hear His voice and I want to come to Him today. And I want to invite Him into my life. And I'm just telling you, if you'll do that, He'll come in. He'll come in. And He'll begin to speak to you. He'll begin to work in your life. He will do that if you'll just invite Him in. So if you're here today and either you've never done that or you've walked away from God, but today you want to walk back to God, will you just raise a hand and say, yeah, that's me. That's me. Just raise it up. Yeah. Just raise it up. And while you're doing that online, just type the word decided in the chat. We're going to be praying for you as well. But come on, everybody pray this prayer after me so those who raise the hand will have the courage to pray it out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe through His death, He paid for all my sins. So today I receive Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. As much as I know how, I'm surrendering my life to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate those who made that decision here today. Here's what else I want to do. If you, on that connection card, all right, there's some boxes there that you can check. And one of them says, my decision today is I'm committing my life to Christ. If you did that, maybe for the first time ever, then just check that box for me. And we're going to be praying for you. And if you feel like, well, I've kind of done that before, but maybe you walked away from the Lord, but today you walk back to Him, check that second box. It says, I'm renewing my commitment to Christ. And again, we're going to be praying for you. Believe in God for you. Here's what I'd like to do over the next moment. I'd like to create a holy moment. Here's the thing about this right now. Is some of you were reared in a tradition where this is what I'm going to ask of you next is different than what's been asked of you maybe before. But as I read the scripture, it says, draw close to me and I will draw close to you. So the way I read that, the ball's in your court. You're as close to God as you want to be. So if today you'd say, I'd like to be closer. I'd like to be so close. Kind of like that guide in Auschwitz. I knew if I get too far away, I'm not going to hear her voice. I'm going to miss out. And today, if you're here and you say, I don't want to miss out on hearing God's voice. I don't want to miss out on whatever God wants to speak to me. I've got decisions to make. There are things yet ahead in my life. I want to know His voice in my life. Then I want to invite you to get closer. So here's what I'm going to do. In a moment, I'm going to have you stand, and I'm not really going to dismiss you. What I'm going to ask you to do, if you'd like, and you'd like to get closer to God, is to come down here to the front. And we've done this before in this church, but I know you, maybe you didn't grow up that way. And you grew up, oh, I never did that or whatever. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Put your traditions aside. Put your religiosity aside. And just don't care about what anybody else thinks other than God right now. And as for you, if you want to get closer to God, then prove it. Do something. Move out. You say, well, I don't know that I have to do that. No, you don't have to. But you may not get what you want. Because Jesus would ask people, he'd say, what do you want me to do? And then he'd say to some of them, well, stretch out your hand. Well, get up off that mat and walk. He'd ask them to do something. And I'm just asking you, would you consider what God might want to do in your life today and just create a holy moment before we leave this place? All right, I want us to stand. Worship team, go ahead. Start leading us in this song. It's just a song of surrender. But if you already know, I want to get down there. I want to get close to God. You don't care what anybody in your row thinks about you. You don't care what anybody else in this building thinks about you. You just want to get close to God. Just start moving out, coming down here as these guys sing this song. Just make it your plea.